MZTV.
It's another history-making show today. We are living history. You say, Martin, no, I can see how you could say the people of the first century were historic, making history. Paul and Epaphras and Philemon and Timothy and Tryphena and Tryphosa. Surely, of course, those people. But what are we? We're just a bunch of schlubs. We're trying to get through the last of this eon. Yeah, well, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, that was written down. And so we have the words, we have the record, and we're reading of these famous people. What you don't realize is that all of this is being written down. This is going to be just, this is, it's not going to be, it'll be realized. But as I speak, this is history. And this is part of the history of the body of Christ that is being recorded somewhere. Every continuation of Paul's ministry from that time, from the time of Paul's death until now, and all the believers and all those laboring in the word and encouraging those who are laboring in the word, and everyone struggling with teaching, everyone struggling to maintain the faith and to come to a commonality of belief. All these struggles are being written down just as much as what is in our Bibles today. No, I don't have scriptural evidence for that. But I do have scriptural evidence that God tells the end from the beginning. And I've told you the future is just as set in stone as the past. There was a sliver of time that God wanted written down for our benefit so that we can learn of the teachings and writing, words, language was God's preferred method for giving us this vital knowledge of our calling and of our gospel and of our standing before God. But that wasn't the end of the body of Christ, was it? Every single generation since then was as important as the first generation, because it's all part of the history. And in fact, this history we're living in today is the times Paul prophesied of. These are the times Paul prophesied of. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous periods will be present, and we're living in those days. And the man of lawlessness is alive today, and the 144,000 are alive today. We're living in an exciting era. You don't think this is being recorded somewhere, and the future generations will read of or watch our exploits? This is another historic show here on MZTV, because we are dealing with sects, with sectarian people, with trouble in the body of Christ, with rogue teachings that creep up. We learn to recognize them. We learn how to defend the truth. Those of us who show ourselves approved, who are teaching the word, and those of you who are listening to the word, we all show ourselves approved by correctly cutting the word of truth, by becoming acquainted with the scriptures, and as I keep saying over and over again, and I will never stop saying it, following rules of scriptural interpretation and laws of language. Using spiritual words. Yes, words are spiritual. Paul uses that phrase in 1 Corinthians. Matching spiritual words with something else. I forget what, but I definitely remember the phrase spiritual words because I remembered what a shock that was when I first heard it. Spiritual words. Words are spiritual? I thought in order to be spiritual, you had to put down the words, close your Bible, and just go with the Spirit, move and roll around and speak in tongues and get all crazy like the Pentecostals do. Flow in the Spirit. No, words are spiritual. Language is spiritual. Verbs are spiritual. Nouns, adjectives, the voice of the verbs, tense. Yes, it's all spiritual. Welcome to MZTV. I'm Martin Zender, and this has all been great. I'm telling you, I know it's been beneficial for you because you've been telling me about it, but let me tell you, it has been so beneficial for me to study these two particular modern sects, which is the non-preexistence of Christ and that half of Paul's letters are not for us. So instructive, because now I have vision into the soul, the heart and the soul of a sectarian. I see what makes them tick. And there's two things that have brought me this realization that I'm going to share with you today. And I'm going to show you examples of it. It's Steve's. His name is Steve Martin. No, it's not the Steve Martin of Wild and Crazy Guy, Saturday Night Live fame, or of The Jerk fame. Now, this man's far from a jerk. He's a Clyde's friend. I know him. I've met the man. He's a good man, and he defended Clyde Pilkington against my perceived attacks. All I was doing was listing 14 sects that Clyde promotes, and I've never seen one person promote so many weirdo teachings, and so I brought him up because I've known people who've got two weird teachings, three weird teachings, one weird teaching, but I've never met anybody with 14 weird teachings that can be so easily disproved. And a great test case is this Acts 28 theory that would rob us of the snatching away. And then, so the word, there was a word that Steve used. I'm going to read it to you today in his defense of Clyde. Remember, he says, we try to correctly cut, to rightly divide the word of truth. We try. That word try jumped out at me. Boom, there it is. There it is. They have to try. I'm going to talk about that very soon, today on MCTV. That word try just exposed the whole thing to me. A simple three-letter word, try. And the Tories, now called the Task Force, the Non-Preexistence of Christ Task Force, there was a video that was made where there was four or five of them on the screen at the same time. Terrific technology. I don't know how anybody does that. It's amazing, beyond my capabilities. But there were five Tories all together on the screen. And my son Gabe made a video of that video. He took elements of it in order to expose it. And I'm telling you, if you want to see and understand the folly of the non-preexistence sect, I used to think that the best thing to do is watch my videos exposing it, or Stephen Janowski and Seth Follenkamp's video exposing the teaching. But now I realize that the best thing you can do to see the folly and the sectarianism of this cult, I call it a cult, is to listen to them talk. That's all you have to do. Listen to them talk. And you can see what a construct it is. You can see how convoluted and smoky and foggy it is. And you can hear them saying the strangest things, like anyone who takes John literally is immature. Yeah, the Gospel of John. Anyone who takes it literally, according to Peter May, is immature. And then when you listen to Mark Haukes going on and on after Peter asks the question, well, there are several passages in John that do seem to be very clearly saying that Jesus Christ preexisted. Like, there it is. Why don't you just believe it? How do you explain those verses away? And Mark Haukes launches on one of the most convoluted, unhelpful, strangest philosophical argument that I've ever heard. And I said, there it is. There it is. And so I'm going to send you a link to my son Gabe's video. He did an 11-minute video up mocking it. He didn't add anything. He did add a couple of things to it, but he just showed them talking. And that's the best way to see through it, is to just listen to these people. Listen to them. It's amazing. This is my conclusion I came to over the weekend. I couldn't wait to get in front of the microphone to talk to you. There is, I've been all around this. I've been all around it. But now, because of the word try, we try to correctly cut the word of truth, and I'm going to get there. You'll see. Where do you see it? I'm going to reread that part of Steve Martin's comments. When you see, when I just examine that word in that context, okay, and when you watch the video my son Gabe made, maybe that's going to happen on Wednesday, maybe tomorrow. I mean, no. Yeah, well, it could be Tuesday, could be Wednesday, could be Thursday. It'll become as clear to you as it is to me. And here's what I have concluded. I've said this before. The sectarian man who departs from established scriptural truth. And I'm not talking about the establishment. I'm talking about scriptural truth established within the body of Christ, foundational teaching that has survived the centuries based on a correctly translated word of God. There are people who feel a need to elaborate upon it, to discover new things, exciting things, and to distinguish themselves. And no matter how much they deny it, they all do this. To distinguish themselves as separate from the crowd. And the one thing they all have in common is they overthink. They overanalyze. They can't leave well enough alone. The simple truth. Remember, Waylon Davis had a show. I wish he still did. It was a great show. Everybody loved it. Called The Simple Truth. And there it is. And Waylon Davis would always like demean himself. He would always downplay himself because he was from North Carolina. And so he talks like he's from North Carolina like this sometimes. And he sometimes feels like he's, you know, non-intellectual, but he's the smartest man, one of the smartest men you'll ever meet in the scripture, because he relies on the simple truth. Now, it is true that we, on certain doctrines, we have to go one level below the surface and look at translations. Look at the translation. We have to go to the original language, make sure something is translated correctly. But once we know something is translated correctly, the truth shines forth, and we set it, and we take a picture of it, set it in stone. Not the law of Moses. Okay, you want to set it in something different to differentiate it from the law of Moses. Okay, let's set it in, how about onyx or something? Gold. Okay, so you set that truth in gold, and nothing attacks it. Because it's truth, and it has survived the centuries of time. And it goes against all the mainstream religion truths, because those aren't truths. Those are sophisticated lies. So we have this wonderful body of truth that belongs to the body of Christ, but some people aren't satisfied with that because they want to distinguish themselves. They won't say it, but damn it, they do. They overanalyze, and they call it, as Steve Martin does in defending his friend Clyde Pilkington. Clyde's my friend too, as I said. They go deep. Well, this is a deep study. It's deep. In every case of a sectarian, deep, the translation of that is what it really means is equals unnecessary overthinking on a simple truth that leads to rabbit holes from which the sectarian cannot escape, because once they've established this viewpoint above and beyond the common people. We're the common people in the body of Christ. We're the common people. I'm telling you, Peter May, at the end of this Tory video, at the end of this task force video where five of them are appearing on the screen at once, he actually said, I wrote it down here, but you're going to hear it yourself. If you take John literally, you show immaturity. There it is. There's the sectarian spirit. If you take John literally, whoa, what do you mean? Like, you don't take John literally? I mean, I know there's figures of speech everywhere in Scripture, hundreds and hundreds of figures of speech. But allowing for figures of speech, we have to take the word literally. So you mean Jesus Christ didn't really exist? The crucifixion never happened? I read about the crucifixion in John. I read about the Last Supper. I read about Jesus Christ's arrest. So that really didn't happen? Because am I an immature? Am I a baby because I take the word of God literally? Am I stupid? Peter May thinks everybody who takes the word, the Gospel of John, because they're arguing about John chapter 1, and they all think it's a big mystery, and they all want to make it esoteric, and they're even questioning whether John wrote John. Whatever. John's not good. That's what I mean. John's not good enough for him. Well, let's question this. Why? Because they want to, they need to go deep. And again, deep is a, once you learn about these sectarians, when they say deep, what they mean is they're going to overthink something until they can make it into something that they prefer. Remember, sect means preference. That's the definition of the word. A sect is preference. So these people are, anybody who starts a sect, whether it's Hymenaeus and Philetus, saying the resurrection has already occurred. What? The resurrection has already occurred. They became famous because of that, Hymenaeus and Philetus. They had a YouTube channel called the Resurrection Has Already Occurred Task Force. And they were famous. They had a different viewpoint. They studied deeply than everyone else in Corinth. And they found out that the resurrection already occurred. You got scripture for that? Hymenaeus and Philetus, did you hear that from Paul? No. But we're looking in between the lines, and we dedicated a task force to looking beyond what the normal people look at. Like what? What do you mean normal people? Well, we mean like immature people. Oh, so Hymenaeus and Philetus, you're saying we're immature for believing that the resurrection is future? But even Paul says the resurrection is future. Obviously, it's future. We're all still here, you idiots. Oh, you people haven't looked deeply enough. You're not serious students. You're immature. Let us tell you how the resurrection has already occurred. And they're looking around like, already occurred? So either these guys were crazy. No, they weren't. They were sectarians. Either they were teaching that they had all missed the resurrection, including Paul, or, I think this is more likely, that resurrection was really allegorical, it was a metaphor, and they had already been mystically resurrected. That's probably more likely, because that would show them to have a sophisticated understanding of resurrection, and that's exactly what these Tories are doing. They have a more sophisticated view of John, you see. Don't believe these people, like simple people like Martin Zender said, the word became flesh. The word tabernacled among us. The word being a metaphor for Christ, identified as you read on in John. Very simple understanding of a metaphor of the word and realizing later that it applies to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ because he tabernacled among us and nothing came into existence apart from him. Sounds very simple. And they actually say this in the video. Peter May says, they say, people like me, they say, this sounds pretty simple, just believe it. And then on comes the pirate onto the stage to weave a complicated tale of how nobody really knows who wrote John. Nobody really knows. John is a strange book. Plays with the shadows. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to the last syllables of recorded time. This is the pirate's explanation of why John doesn't mean what he says. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow. A poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and is seen no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, that's signifying nothing. Something like that. Something like that. So, they're elitists. They're closet elitists. And what did Jesus say about accepting him? Accept me as a child. Believe as a child. Read the scripture as a child. The obvious sense of scripture is the correct sense. Whatever it's... Martin, you said we have to go beneath the surface. You go beneath the surface when there's a language issue, when there's a word issue, and you want to get the right translation. Once you have the right translation, don't you dare go beneath the surface. You have to go beneath the surface to make sure that you're reading a good translation. Why, there's no sense arguing about something God didn't even say. You see? Accept it as a child. Peter says, you're immature if you just accept John for what it says. How dare you? That's so elitist. I hated that when I heard Peter say that. I felt so bad for him. And that told me these guys think they're part of an exclusive club. They're the intellectual elites. They have special esoteric knowledge that you and I cannot hope to attain to. Waylon Dabbs will never attain to it. Look at the title of his show, The Simple Truth. What a plebe. What an immature man. We have the real meaning of John. You have to get into the weeds. No wonder, when I watched this video, it's no wonder the pirate told me I can't give you an answer. I have to move. I have to unpack my boxes. Because it takes him words and words and words to unwind his complicated tale of what John really means. You can't take it for what it says on the surface. Oh, yes, you can. Intellectual elite. And you immature people can't even hope to attain to the level of the interpretive sophistication of the Tories or of Clyde Pilkington, even in cutting the word again, supercutting the word of God. They supercut it, Clyde Pilkington and the Steve Martin and the Acts 28 people. They cut the word of God again. Overthinking in order to distinguish themselves, to obtain some superior wisdom, to distinguish themselves from the people they now label as the immature. If you only cut the word as scripture cuts the word. Oh, I want to get into that. So I can't believe the time. I need to get into that so badly. That word tries. We try to cut the word. If you cut the word, because Paul does say to Timothy, correctly cut the word of truth. King James says, rightly divide the word of truth. But how do we divide it? All you need to know is within Scripture itself. Romans 11:13, Paul says, now to you am I saying, to the nations, inasmuch as indeed then I am the apostle of the nations. Paul was the apostle of the nations. What does that tell you? Paul's letters are to the nations. And then we read Galatians 2:7, Paul says, I'm the minister of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. There is your division, Peter and Paul. But the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Paul, to the nations, was a minister to the uncircumcision, to the nations. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:17, Paul says, the salutation is by my hand, Paul's, which is a sign in every epistle. Thus am I writing Paul's name in an epistle. Meant that epistle was written to the nations. And to the nations was written a specific evangel. And that evangel is called the gospel of the uncircumcision. All these things I'm telling you are founded in Scripture. Yet the Acts 28 crowd, the Clyde Pilkington crowd, the Steve Martin crowd, they want to divide it again. Let me just read his words. I am going to get to it. The so-called Act, this is Steve Martin defending Clyde Pilkington against my demarcating, announcing 14 sacks that Clyde defends. The so-called Acts 28 position doesn't divide Christ's body. It tries to rightly divide the word. Steve Martin, you don't have to try to rightly divide the word. And there it is. There it is. Overthinking, extra work, doing more. The cutting in the scripture is not enough for you. You have to divide it again. You now divide Paul from himself. What right do you have to do that? Show me in scripture something internally in the word of God that says you're supposed to do that. Defend your extra cut. Yes, we cut the circumcision from the uncircumcision, because that's Galatians 2:7. Yes, we cut Paul from the rest of the writers, because that's 2 Thessalonians 3:17. Yes, we consider the gospel of the uncircumcision to be to the nations. That's Romans 11:13. But show me, defend in the scriptures your bogus cut that you make, the extra cut. No, now we're going to go one step further. Why? Why are you? Because we're sectarians, because we're different, because we're mavericks, because we work harder, because we overthink everything. And we're going to make an extra cut, defend it in the scripture. They can't. They have to say, well, the cut is Acts 28:28. Why is that the cut? Does it say in Acts 28:28 that there's a cut there? No. They're inventing it. It was invented by Charles Welch, passed on to Clyde Pilkington, passed on to Steve Martin, and a handful of other people who buy into this shit. They're overthinking it. They want to be somebody. They want to be special. They want the esoteric special knowledge that you don't have. Acts 28:28? Well, it doesn't say anywhere that you're supposed to cut Paul's letters in half. Well, we just think that, and that's the problem. You're overthinking. Shut up. All the cutting you need is described in Scripture. They want to cut Paul's gospel, Paul's letters according to the ones he wrote before Acts 28:28 and after Acts 28:28. Well, how do you know which letters he wrote before? If it's so damn important to know when Paul wrote his letters, then it would be internal. God would tell us, oh, these letters of Paul were written before he went to prison, and it's such an important time period. Therefore, it's an early body of Christ that died off with Triceratops. Don't apply those to you. No, only these letters are for the mature body of Christ. See, it's another thing. They consider themselves to be part of the mature body of Christ. And if you go to Romans, any early letter, if you go to Romans, if you go to 1 Corinthians, if you believe the snatching away, if you think that's for you, and 1 Thessalonians, oh my goodness, you are a plebe. You're a hick. You are such an immature baby. Where are you from? Like, you apply the snatching away to yourself? You poor idiots. You poor immature people. If only you did the extra cut that we do. See, because this is what Steve says. He goes, Clyde goes deep. It's deep. No, it's deeply and thoughtful. That's what he says. Disagree if you must, he says to me, but let's not demonize those who are studying deeply and thoughtfully. See, they're the ones studying deeply and thoughtfully. Thoughtfully, they're overthinking. They're not coming to the Word of God as children. And deep is BS. It's not deep. It's going beyond what is written in order to, even though they're not doing this consciously, but they like it. They consider themselves to be intellectual elitists. They have special knowledge you can't attain to. You're immature. This goes for both the sects we're discussing. It also has to go with the sect back in Paul's day of Hymenaeus and Philetus and every other freaking sect. That's what they want to do. They overthink in order to distinguish themselves from the people they now label as the immature. Those poor, stupid people who take this literally or who still apply the snatching away to themselves. But I'm telling you, these people professing themselves to be wise are in fact made stupid.